acknowledge my other co-authors. As you know, Beth, you just heard her. Michael Lorber, Robert Cole, Harriet Kitzman, and David Olds. And parent training aimed at preventing or reducing conduct problems, including aggressive behavior, has become a major focus of intervention efforts, which are aimed at the reduction of maladaptive parenting behaviors and the increased use of positive parenting strategies. Related research has shown that parental reading to children has demonstrated increases in children's language development. Oh, how did that happen? Sorry. Didn't touch a thing. Improved language development has been shown to lead to reductions in aggressive behavior. Therefore, parenting interventions that are comprised of a combination of language promotion activities, what is this thing doing? How do I stop that? Oh my goodness. Okay.
Try that.
All right, now let's go here. Okay. Where was I now? So we think that parenting interventions that are comprised of a combination of language promotion activities as well as parenting skills training may result in the most effective strategies for preventing or reducing aggression through direct effects on aggression and indirect effects on aggression that are mediated by better language development. So home visiting programs for first-time parents have garnered attention as effective parenting strategies, and these are typically targeted to those parents at highest risk for poor outcomes. The Nurse Family Partnership is an intensive nurse home visiting program targeting first-time, low-income mothers, which has demonstrated consistent program effects on parenting behaviors and children's vocabulary, cognition, and executive function. Research on the evaluation of the nurse home visiting partner or the nurse family partnership has been ongoing for over 25 years in three study sites in Elmira, New York, Memphis, Tennessee, and Denver, Colorado. The NFP is one of 11 programs that has been identified by the Center for the Study and Prevention of Violence as a model program in its Blueprints for Violence Prevention Initiative. And results from our 15-year follow-up of the Elmira data revealed that there was a 59% reduction in adjudications for persons in need of supervision and a 90% reduction in arrests among the nurses and children. And these are outcomes that have been linked to early childhood aggressive behaviors. However, in our Memphis and Denver NFP replications, there were no significant intervention effects on the overall externalizing behaviors at ages 2 or 4. However, gender effects nor the specific subset of physically aggressive behaviors were examined. And in addition, few studies have examined intervention effects by gender. I found one, which was done by Carolyn Webster Stratton, who found that externalizing behaviors did differ by males and females at baseline, but that the responses to her intervention were the same between boys and girls, with both groups demonstrating reductions in aggressive behavior, and those reductions were sustained at 1 and 2 years follow-up assessments. I found no studies in the literature that examined intervention effects simultaneously examining vocabulary and aggression by childhood gender. So Carolyn Webster Stratton summarizes by stating, it's time to remedy this gap in the research to determine whether there are different behavioral symptoms, developmental pathways, etiological factors. This thing is just really wanting me to move along here. I can't talk any faster. let's get back here. And treatment outcomes for boys and girls. And so the purpose of this study was to expand on the work that Beth did and to examine the impact of the NFP on language ability and the development of physically aggressive behaviors among children from age 2 through age 12. I'm not going to go into the details. As you know, we derived these are secondary analyses from the Memphis trial. Office and home visits were conducted and child assessments at registration and postpartum at 6 months, 1, 2, 4, 6, 9, and 12 years of age. For these analyses, I've used the data from baseline, 2, 6, and 12 years, since that's when we assessed both language and physical aggression. So our specific study questions were, Was the nurse home visiting program effective in reducing physically aggressive behaviors through age 12? Did the intervention effects on the development of physical aggression over time differ by gender? And were the effects of the intervention on physical aggression mediated by children's development of language? Beth went over our enrollment criteria. I just wanted to state that the study was approved by both the IRBs at the University of Rochester and the University of Tennessee. And for these analyses, all women originally randomized to the postpartum intervention groups, that original N was 748, and who had a live birth were included in these analyses. Our final sample was 721 because there were 22 women that had either an abortion, miscarriage, or a stillbirth. The nurses followed a detailed visit-by-visit protocol to help women improve their health-related behaviors, care of their children, and life course development, which included pregnancy planning, continuation of their education, and participation in the workforce. And the postpartum program protocols focused on helping mothers and caregivers promote the physical and emotional care of their children. And we built in specific curricula that promoted the parent-child interaction, which helped by facilitating parents' understanding of their children's communicative signals and enhancing interest in playing with their children in ways that promoted emotional and cognitive development. As Beth stated, these were the measures that we used to assess language. The MDI was our proxy for vocabulary at age 2. The PPVT measured language at age 6. And for physical aggression, we did use the same CBCL items. However, we only included the two physical aggression items at ages 6 and 12 in our analyses here. We did have two covariates that we included in our analytical models. We used a measure of household poverty that was the average Z-score of household discretionary income, head of household employment status, and percent household density. We included this for two reasons. One, there were baseline differences between the comparison and intervention groups on this variable. And two, household poverty or family poverty has been shown to impact a wide array of child outcomes, and we wanted to remove that effect from these analyses. The other covariate that we included was a measure of what we called negative parenting attitudes, and this was derived from the 40-item Bavelec Adult Adolescent Parenting Inventory. There are four subscales included in this overall measure, and those are parental lack of empathy, role reversal, unrealistic expectations for the child, and a belief in physical punishment. And this variable was included because previous research has shown that harsh, restrictive parenting leads to increased aggressive behavior among children. This was a variable that we hoped our intervention would also impact, and so once again, we wanted to remove the effect of this variable from our analytical models. We did conduct two subgroup analyses. The first was based on gender. The second was based on a variable that we call maternal psychological resources. If you've read any of our previous publications, you know that we've had significant intervention effects, sometimes in the low-resource moms, sometimes in the high, depending on what outcomes we were examining. But this was the mean Z-score of mothers' intelligence, mental health, mastery, and self-efficacy. This variable for these analyses is based on a median split, and that's because previous work that we did using the continuous form showed that the intervention effects occurred in the tails of the distribution. And since I'm looking at interaction effects, for ease of interpretation of those, we use the dichotomous variable. Simultaneous equation modeling techniques were used in these analyses, and there were four primary models tested to address the first two research questions. Due to the skewed distribution for the physical aggression variables, two steps were taken in order to guard against misleading results due to violated statistical assumptions. First, all hypothesis tests were evaluated with adjusted standard errors and model fit indices computed using robust maximum likelihood estimation methods. Second, we ran parallel analyses using bias-corrected bootstrapped estimates, which yielded highly similar results to the first set of analyses. And then following conventions by Klein, Byrne, Brown, and Kudyk, our criteria for assessing the adequacy of fit were that chi-square to degrees of freedom ratio be less than 2, that our comparative fit index and our Tucker Lewis index be at or above 0.90 and a root mean square error of approximation at or below 0.08, and all of our models comfortably exceeded these fit criteria. We used mediation analyses to address research question 3, and those were conducted independently for each outcome. McKinnon, Lockwood, Hoffman, West, and Sheets suggest that two criteria be met when using such tests for mediation in intervention research. The first criterion, known as the joint test, requires statistically significant paths from intervention to mediator and mediator to outcome. The second criterion is a statistically significant result of a test that takes each of these paths into account simultaneously, such as the asymmetric confidence limits test. So accordingly, both joint test and the asymmetric confidence limits test were used for all tests of mediation here. And because these analyses were exploratory in nature, we set our criteria at 0.10 for determining statistical significance. As you can see, at age 6, nurse-visited children demonstrated higher PPVT scores than the comparison group children, and the nurse-visited children also exhibited lower physical aggression scores at age 2 than their comparison group counterparts, but these findings were attenuated by age 6. Looking at the interaction of intervention and gender, we found that there was a significant interaction effect on age 2 physical aggression, and when we probed that interaction further, it was revealed that that effect was concentrated among the girls, but not the boys, and again, these findings attenuated at 6 and 12. Moving on to the interaction of intervention and psych resources, we found that by age 6, there were significant differences in physical aggression, which were sustained through age 12. And probing this interaction further, it was determined that this was concentrated among the children of mothers with high psychological resources, with the nurse-visited kids of high psych resources moms demonstrating significantly lower physically aggressive behaviors. And again, there were no significant effects at 6 and 12 among the low-resource moms. There were no statistically significant three-way interactions on any of the outcomes. Boy, this thing's really moving along. It was hypothesized that the effects of the nurse home visitation on child aggression would be mediated by the effect of the nurse home visitation on children's cognitive development, language, verbal skills. So the mediation models were tested, controlling for the effects of household poverty and those negative parenting attitudes on both the mediator and the outcome. It was interesting that the hypothesized relationship was not supported by these data. Because the joint significance test criterion was not met, the intervention had no significant effect on age 2 cognitive development. However, an alternate direction of mediation was suggested by these data. Referring back to the main effects model, we observed a significant intervention effect on aggression at age 2 and a marginal effect on vocabulary at age 6. So accordingly, it seemed possible that the effect on nurse visiting at age 6 vocabulary was mediated by its effect on toddler aggression. Tests of this alternate direction of mediation were limited to the girls, since the protective effect of the NFP on age 2 aggression was concentrated among this sample. So as you can see, the path from intervention to aggression was significant, the path from aggression to language was significant. And then, and in addition, the asymmetric 95% confidence interval around the unstandardized estimate of the indirect effect did not include zero. And then lastly, as you can see, the direct effect of the NFP on language at age 6 was no longer significant once we controlled for aggression at age 2. Thus, the positive effect of the nurse home visitation on girls' vocabulary at age 6 appeared to have been mediated by the protective effect on their aggression at age 2. So as we described earlier, previous analyses had revealed no intervention effects on the general externalizing behaviors, but these analyses demonstrated that the NFP did significantly reduce physically aggressive behaviors at age 2. There was a differential impact based on gender and mother psych resources. The NFP significantly interrupted early development of physically aggressive behaviors in girls, but by age 6 and through age 12, these effects were attenuated. So some might question the need for an intervention if by that time everything has disappeared. And our response to that challenge would be that the nurse-visited females exhibited a significantly lower peak value for physical aggression than the comparison group females, which may have inhibited the development of many of the negative outcomes which are associated with early conduct disorders, such as violence, school delinquency, substance use, placing those nurse-visited girls on a totally different trajectory. Interestingly enough, the lack of effect among boys was unexpected. And these results suggest that these analyses, that there are different etiological pathways and factors that are important in the prediction of physically aggressive behaviors among males. And indeed, previous research has demonstrated that it may be more likely that maternal characteristics, such as depression and harsh parenting, are important for girls, while things such as difficult temperament and noncompliance are important for boys. Since we're running out of time, I'm going to just briefly talk about the fact that few research studies have examined intervention effects by gender, and had we only limited our analyses to examining intervention by time effects, we would have completely overlooked the fact that all of our intervention effects were concentrated among the girls. I'm going to skip over the high psych resources, the limitations Beth discussed, so we'll move on to our future research. It's important that we examine various pathways for the development of physically aggressive behavior in children and acknowledge that those pathways may differ by gender. We need to analyze more complex models that include the array of known predictors for both boys and girls, and that we have to include gender in any of these analytical models in the future. Thank you.